Hey, what's up? It's Taquita Love, and I'm here with my younger brother, Tyrone. We call him Chocolate. If you want to know how he escaped a misery situation while on the clock, tune in. Taquita
Love, Taquita Love. She's a nurse. And she slaying them jokes. Save your life if you live with the right advice. Medicine and some laughter every night.
But it's crazy. People always want hookups. My mama called me at work today and was like, you think you could bring home a couple cases of flu shots for your sister baby shower? We just gonna set a table up and you could just do your thing. You want me to administer flu shots at the baby shower? Well, you could put them in the gift bags if you don't want to get a shot. So I was like, what?
My brother.
It's been... How long it's been? I think I did the podcast 2019. You came, you helped. I never did an interview with you.
You used me,
right? Of course, because that's what sisters do.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm actually here live in action.
You ain't seen no release or nothing. You was just like, I'm the call.
I'm here. You can trust me.
Both of us are nurses. Mm-hmm. At some point, people always be like, how'd you start stand-up? And you are low-key one of the reasons why or how I got into David A. Arnold's class.
I remember, I was going through some drama, right?
Oh, wait. So this is what...
Came from Chicago to L.A.
To visit.
Right.
And then you wind up staying.
For a little bit longer.
Yeah, because you was like, you was going home. I was like, no, I'll stay in L.A. and kick it with your sister a little bit.
I took you up on that offer.
Oh, yeah.
Then a week later, you was like, you got to go to work.
Yeah. Those were really fun times.
Yeah, we had some good
time. It was like a good sibling bonding, you know, like, and I was new to LA and I was new to being a travel nurse. And then it was like, my brother was out here kicking it. You were rapping and we did background work together. You weren't a nurse yet.
I was not. You know what? I actually got accepted into nursing school while I was here on that vacation.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons kind of motivated me to go home. I'm just like, I gotta go.
You was kicking it. Like, I was like, what's crazy is that, like, I was living on Sunset and Vine, and so we was living like, we came from Chicago. We never lived like that before.
Like stars. I'm talking about the Wayans brothers was in.
Oh, Marlon Wayans.
He was in the building, and then next thing you know, that's who I was on the set for one of his movies.
Uh-huh.
I'm just like, that's crazy that we, you know, you connected like that.
Yeah,
you
know, and I didn't know I was that connected. I've been a nerd all my life. So I don't know how it happened, when it happened, but you was like, here's a flyer. You heard something about.
This is what happened.
Okay.
You don't remember exactly what happened. What happened was like, you said, hey, Chocolate, you here, and, you know, comedy in L.A. can be a little bit, the big comedy clubs can be a little bit segregated at times. And you're like, there's a black comedy show tonight at the Laugh Factory. Mm-hmm. Let's go. And I was just like, cool, let's go. And we went. That was my first time seeing David Arnold.
Mm-hmm.
And he did his set. And after his set, he pulled out the flyer.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, if one of y'all think y'all can do what I do, you know what I mean, take my class.
Uh-huh.
And it sparked my interest. I was just like, his personality seems so similar to mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, I think I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really encouraged. I took a flyer. And I think we went to the class for just like a free class.
Yeah, we went to audit. Yeah.
So we took a free class. And then I wound up going back to nursing school. I went back home and went to school.
And then I didn't do nothing. And then a year later.
Then you took the class.
A year later, what happened with me was I think I had went to Feed the Homeless the day before. And it was a homeless couple and I was single. Mm-hmm. And a part of me was like, I woke up and I was on the couch. And I don't know if that flyer was there, but something sparked me. And I was like, you know, I think I was off work at the time. And I was just like, let me just go. And I called Sataris at the time.
Okay.
And she was like, come on. The class had started. Like, it was the Saturday. The class had started. It was the first day.
Okay.
And then I remember going. I was like, I joined the class. And then I became like a little, like an open mic.
Right.
And then out of nowhere, it became a part. I think it became a part of my life. When I did Laughs on Fox, like when I got on TV.
Right, I remember that because I was in Chicago when you got on TV.
Yeah.
And you sent me the link. I'm just like, damn.
It was a couple of years, and I didn't even think of stand up as something that I would do or something that would lead me to other possibilities until I was on TV. I taped 12 minutes.
Right.
They showed about 12 seconds, and I was like, "Mom, y'all better, I'm famous. Come on."
You know, I think you were actually on a game show before that, though.
Yeah.
You sent me a link. I remember nursing school. I'm just like, okay,
so I'm out here.
I see you out here in LA.
I
see you. And I made a promise to myself is that, you know, once I graduated, I'm like, man, I'm back out there. I wanted to definitely get back out to the LA scene with you as soon as I graduated, as soon as possible, for sure. Mm-hmm. Especially getting that little taste of the Hollywood, because when I say Hollywood, it was really like you would imagine Hollywood to be, in the summer, bikinis everywhere, food, drinks, pool parties every weekend, with famous people, like people that are on Saturday Night Live and got their own show, and artists that I looked up to. And so, yeah, when I got a taste of that, I was just like, okay.
And you did a freestyle on the top of the building.
I did do a nice little. I did do a nice
Hollywood
little,
bars.
I did do Hollywood bars in Hollywood. And I did do.
And you went back to Chicago, and I would like to think that LA sparked a creativity, or it kind of gave you a glance of that it's possible.
Yeah, you know, before I went back home, I wanted, again, the comedy was really an interest when I came here and had that time with you. Mm-hmm. I wasn't rapping yet, right? So I think it did spark an interest in rapping when I went back home. What my friends and my peers were doing, they were rapping. Mm-hmm. And I think that just being around them, it encouraged me to start putting my pen to the pad. You know, I had always had an interest in poetry writing. So I had a structure in terms of my thought process in that regard. So I just really applied that to the music, and it turned out being something pretty cool. Pretty special.
I remember you had a song where you said dun 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 dun, call that shit Taquita. I was like, my brother put me in the song. And then I know you moved to LA, travel nurse. So the thing is, you finished school, right. You did what you had to do. Mm-hmm. You, the family came, wound up living in the same building as me.
On the same floor. We became neighbors. We were neighbors with Snoop.
Snoop bodyguard. They was somewhere. We followed a cloud of smoke. That's where they was at. But that was living. We didn't know that growing up. Yeah. We didn't grow up living like that. Yeah. We grew up food stamps. We grew up Section 8. Chicago. We grew up Chicago. In that mentality of okay, we don't know that there's better. And I think when I became a travel nurse and lived on Sunset and Vine, that's when I saw there's better.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
and it's obtainable.
Yeah. And I think that mom did a good job letting us know an inkling of what better quality would look like.
Mm-hmm.
Because although we lived in Section 8 per se,
yeah,
and
we live good.
She made sure the furniture looked nice.
Yeah.
Right. The house stayed clean. And
we was balling.
Things were
we
hot.
Sold DVDs. We sell bootleg DVDs.
Yeah. So the value was there, but it wasn't tangible to the point where we had access to it consistently.
Yeah.
Right. So I think we had a good foundation. But moving outside of the hood, outside and getting in a new environment, I think definitely sparked that a little bit more.
Yeah. And it was just we here, man. We can get it, we can touch it,
Being from Chicago, we got that go-getter mentality as well, so that kind of helps.
So so fast forward, you live in LA,
right.
I live in LA, we neighbors.
Right.
I don't think, did I take the class with you? At some point we was like, yo, let's be sister and brother, let's connect again.
We
took David A. Arnold's class again together.
Yeah, because that interest of taking the class never went away.
Uh-huh.
So when I came back to LA and Dave was like, there's another class.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, you know, I might take it again.
Yeah.
I was just like, well, if you take it, I'm taking it.
Yeah. Right?
So we ended up taking the class together.
Uh-huh.
And that was an awesome experience.
Yeah. And then you came to Marty's.
Marty's was... As I've heard you mention so many times, the crackhead stand-up spot. And that's definitely how it felt the first time walking in.
You came in there with your little loafers, I'm a family man, I'm working.
Right.
And it was, I think Justin Hyers was there.
Yeah, Justin was there, I remember him.
And
he hit that rush hour thing he was doing at the time. Yeah, that was cool. With David's class, it gave, even with Marty's, it gave us an opportunity to get our feet wet in regards to standing up and speaking to people and trying to make them laugh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm forever grateful for both of those opportunities.
Yeah. And I'll never forget. So the thing about taking a stand-up class is You got to have balls to do it, period. Like, I know you're funny, because I'll be calling you and running my jokes, and you'd be like, no, do this, do that. But when you did the showcase, so, like, people with the stand-up class, you do all this work, you do all this writing, you perform, you get on stage, and then, like, you get notes, and then there's a showcase. And there's a showcase is where you invite all your people out, mm-hmm. and they see what you've been working on.
Right, right.
And you literally, I was like, who is he? Because out of nowhere, because when I was on stage doing open mics a lot, you were at home. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you know, like, you were working indoors, and I always know, like, you got to be outside.
Right.
And then you did the showcase, and, like, you ripped it. And right. You went first.
Right.
You took the bullet.
I did take the bullet. Shout out to Brody. Brody, if you see me, brother, whatever, shout out to Brody. threw me in a fire.
Oh, Brody, he was like, my girl ain't here yet. Yeah. He's somebody.
The crazy thing is that going first, it wasn't just like going first. It was going up after David, because David, he warmed up the, uh-huh. the showcase. So Dave went up there and killed it for 10 minutes and mm-hmm. had the crowd going crazy.
Uh-huh.
And midway through that 10 minutes, Brody comes up and was like, bro, my girl not here yet.
Uh-huh.
Do you mind, you know, going up for me first? And no, I'm just like, I'm terrified, but I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Say less.
Uh-huh.
But I was prepared.
Yeah.
Right? I did do a lot of practice mm-hmm. Behind the scenes, and that's something. During that time frame, I studied a lot of film. I looked at a lot of comedy shows, and I did my set probably 500, 1,000 times in the mirror,
mm-hmm.
Very meticulously.
Mm-hmm.
When the showcase came, I was prepared,
and I
killed it.
Yeah, you did. You got on stage, and you was talking about, I know you talked about, you did some crowd work. Angel Games, shout out Angel Games.
Shout out to Angel.
Yeah, like all your jokes, you was like, you know, like, because you are a nurse. Like me, and you do home health. So, like, you was going to the hood, and you was like, all these people, like, I got a lab coat on, they think I'm a doctor.
Right.
And then it was just like, you're the jokes, though. The thing is, like, life, we know what life is. Mm-hmm. But then when you give us the jokes, and you like, I'm going to somebody's house, and, you know, the lady's like, hey, Dr. Love. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the jokes beat by beat, but I know you went to the dispensary, and they was like, let the doctor in. You know, let him come get in. But the thing... It was something about like that. And I saw you on stage. I was like, oh, we about to be the brother and sister comedy. We about to do this little comedy thing. We about to be the nurse comedy duo. And then you was like, life.
It happens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to ask you, how did you feel on stage in that moment? And then do you miss it?
Well, let me answer the first question, mm-hmm. part of the question. How did I feel on stage? I felt in control.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt fulfilled for providing laughter, mm-hmm. or the information or dialect that would make people
but
laugh.
But was it a rush? Because when I'm on stage, I get a rush.
It was a rush afterwards,
uh-huh.
right? After getting off of stage and realized that the preparation worked.
Yeah.
Right? And what I thought would be important to do was
mm-hmm.
important.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it, I got the response that I was hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a complete rush. And
mm-hmm.
I definitely miss it, right? And one of my fondest moments of David is getting off of the stage on mm-hmm. that particular showcase. Cause Dave, he seemed just as surprised as you mentioned.
I was like, who is this mother? He ain't been on stage. He ain't been in no open mic. What the fuck?
He ran up to me and looked at me in my eyes. He was like, girl, you killed it. And that, you know, that definitely, you know, that felt good.
Mm-hmm.
That definitely felt good. So, yeah, I do miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I do miss it. And I took a different route. You know, I'm doing music and, mm-hmm. you know, focusing on family and the profession as well. But, mm-hmm. you know, the artistic drive is still there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if something happened where I was like, yo, bro, I got like, I got a tour and you just, all you got to do is show up, bring your 5 minutes, come, like, would you get back on stage?
I got the five.
Okay. You know, so I'm just like a heavyweight champion.
Right,
like
right.
This is like the call out. Be like, I challenge you. Like, are you gone?
Yeah. You know, I got the five. You didn't see the five.
No, but for me, to be honest with you, like that moment of doing the class with David, it was more about connecting with my brother. You know, it was more about relationship building. It's cause it's like we adults now.
Yeah.
And like, you know, at some point, you know, like the two, you know, like siblings become individuals, and then they are attached to other people and other things. Definitely. So like for me, that was like one of the best times, because it was like we were grinding, we were writing, we were helping each other, we had each other's back, and then we celebrated, like, you know, and then we celebrated on stage, and it was just like one of those moments that was like, you know, and then Annie was in town, my sister Shaquita, we call her Annie, and it was just like, I remember us all taking pictures on stage, and it was just like a fun moment. And it's just like, for some people, you know, that's all it needs to be. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, that's what that meant. That was like, this was family time. This was like, it was a good, like, connection. Yeah. And then it was just like, yo, we did that.
Yeah. And
oftentimes, similar to being a nurse, like, yo, we did that.
Oftentimes in those moments, you don't really, not really present. Mm-hmm. Right. And that's what I've learned a lot being in nursing. And you mentioned I do home health. At the time I was doing home health, I now do what's called palliative care. Mm-hmm. And I do hospice care as mm-hmm. well. And doing that has allowed me to really appreciate and become more present in moments, as you're describing.
Yeah.
Seeing the value in it in that moment, mm-hmm. as this moment would be. I would consider this a moment as such, right? Mm-hmm. You are doing your thing.
Mm. Right? Hey.
And yeah, for sure. I got to give you your flowers. And as your younger brother, someone who you've always been a leader in regards to kind of our dynamic of relationship,
mm-hmm.
You know, it encourages me to continue to be creative and mm-hmm. do other avenues and continue to express myself. Mm-hmm. So again, I applaud you.
Oh, hey, thank you. Oh, hey, little sister moment, sister brother moment. Hey, I love you. I love you too. Hey. Do you have any like unexpected trips to the emergency room involving like yourself or immediate family? Or any crazy medical stories?
HIPAA now.
I know about HIPAA, but like you told me they was trying to throw it at you because
I stay in I work in I do home visits. And working in South Central, you can't go in the hood just dressed any type of way, right? Because you gotta respect the culture. And there's a prevalent gang culture in Los Angeles. And one of my father figures growing up, Tupac Shakur, often reiterated the importance to to respect the neighborhood in L.A. So that's something that I was aware of before I came to Los Angeles. It was tested, mm-hmm. right? Because I did go, I threw my Jordans on. Right?
Well, you're not supposed to wear Jordans, or it's the color.
I threw my scrubs with my Jordans on, and they couldn't distinguish that attire from anybody maybe in a jogging suit.
Okay.
Right? So situations like that, you know, they do press. They say, hey, where you from?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you repping? What set you repping? Whatever lingo they use, it definitely was situations when I first moved here where mm-hmm. they were just like, hold on, bro, you in this neighborhood, you know, where you from?
Mm-hmm.
So I had to recognize that my attire maybe had to elevate it slightly. Mm-hmm. I started dressing more casual, making sure that they saw my stethoscope.
So it's like the stethoscope was like the hands up, don't shoot.
Hey,
it's like,
look, you want me to listen to your heart, my nigga? What's going on? And that really gave me a little bit more respect,
mm-hmm.
And admiration.
Okay.
In the neighborhood, I love working where I love. You know, I love South Central. I love LA in general, but more specifically, I love working in the homes of South Central. I think that my presence is well received and well felt. So.
Mm-hmm. And welcomed.
I'm welcomed everywhere, but more specifically
mm-hmm.
Needed.
Yeah.
In those communities, for sure.
I'm happy to hear you say that, because I feel like when you're a patient, then you get somebody coming in, you want them to respect you and be kind of like in tune with what you got going on. Right. Like, if you know what I'm saying, if it smell like weed in there, you're not finna be like, I'm calling the cops, right, because right. you know, like, you feel
right,
me?
Right.
That's hard.
Yeah.
You know, for going to those neighborhoods.
Yeah.
But
I see some things.
But like a crazy experience.
Well, I'll be honest with you, the craziest thing I've seen was not in South Central.
What was it?
It was in the Hollywood Hills.
Uh-huh.
And this was prior to me working at the location, at the place I work now. I was working at an agency, and they sent me to the Hollywood Hills.
Mm-hmm.
And it was this young white guy, and he seemed super excited that a black person was coming into his house. And I was like, you know, okay, that's all good. And he wanted to show me his gun collection. Like,
are you serious?
I'm dead ass. I'm just like, okay, you must assume that, you know, I'm carrying too. Mm-hmm. I'm not at the moment, but I let me see.
Mm-hmm.
Let me be. My first thought was just, let me be cool and not cause any conflict in the scenario where there's firearms.
Okay.
Right? And then I was just like, let me check on the patient, because you're not the patient. you're the patient's son. Mm. And let me check on the patient. And then I hear the patient screaming, I'm in here. Mm-hmm. I'm in here. And I'm just like, you know, is your mom in there? And can she come out and be a part of the you know, the evaluation? Uh-huh. Comes to find out he had taken the doorknobs off of her side uh-huh. of the room. So she was literally trapped in the room. She could not open the door. The only way you can open it was from his side, outside uh-huh. of the door. So that was a shocking experience.
That felt like a scene from Misery.
It was. I had to get out. I had to think of how can I get out of here safely? Mm-hmm. And am I being trapped? It felt like an Us moment before Us
came out. Yeah. Out,
right? So I was just like, how can I safely get out of this scenario mm-hmm. and report this scenario? Because mm-hmm. legally I had to kind of report it. So,
mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah. So.
You never saw the patient?
I saw the patient momentarily. Yeah. Mm-hmm. He opened the door and that's how I realized that, oh.
Something ain't right.
No, when she opened the door, I was like, ain't no knob. Mm. I'm like, what's the knob? Mm-hmm. He was like, oh, no, I don't want her leaving out of the home. She may hurt herself.
Okay.
Out of the room. I'm okay. just like, well, that's a different type of restraint, right?
Okay.
She had, you know, she was alert and oriented times three, so she can make the decisions if she wanted to leave the house mm-hmm. or not. So, yeah, that was reported.
I couldn't imagine going somewhere and they'd be like, let me show you my gun collection.
I'm like, oh my lord, he didn't put it on the table. I'm like,
I would have. I don't know. I feel like people don't understand. Like that's a dangerous job you do too. Like, it reminded me of the scene from Pet Detective when Jim Carrey went to the house and he was like, I'm looking for Ray Finkel, and the dude was like, in a new pair of shorts. And it was
like, that's one of your favorite scenes in the movie.
I love that movie. And then I'm like, from Life, we're looking for Slim.
You found him.
Like those, like people that know me know that like. If you know me, you know that I like to talk in movie quotes. Yeah. So out of nowhere, I'll just be like, what am I going to do with two more kids? And it's like, and people that know me know that that's, you know, that's a movie I like. Yeah. And that's a quote from it.
That's funny.
So you accepted the challenge to get back on stage at some point, even if it's for
challenge accepted.
Even if it's for 5 minutes.
I do the five.
Okay. And then you working on music.
Always.
Maslow, if you haven't heard. Please check him out.
Yes. Maslow.
Be careful in them streets. Be careful in them nursing streets.
For sure. Keep your head on the swivel. You can find me on the gram, the Twitter, Snap.
What's Snap. The, people Snapchat still.
They snap me now. What's the new one? The little tickety tockety.
TikTok.
Yeah, I do the tickety tockety too. Everything is Maslow. Maslow. Yeah. It's Tyrone Love, and I'm here with Taquita Love. Yes, we got the same last name because I'm her younger brother, and I am on Love Notes.
Every night. But it's crazy. People always want hookups. My mama called me at work today and was like, you think you could bring home a couple cases of flu shots for your sister baby shower? We just gonna set a table up and you could just do your thing.
You want me to administer flu shots at the baby shower?
Well, you could put them in the gift bags if you don't want to get a shot. So I was like, what?